Thanks, Hank. Appreciate the opportunity to visit with y'all today. Things are changing rapidly out there in the cotton world for us entomologists and for consultants. And what I'd like to do today is kind of bring you up to speed on where we are. There's been some big differences occurring right now in what we've been seeing in traded cotton. So I titled my talk, "Is it time to make that transition to three-gene cotton?" And you see the people on here that I've got as co-authors, and you know that's our Mid-South entomologist working group, and these are the guys that work all very closely together. I'm blessed to have the opportunity to work with this group of colleagues up here that you see listed, make my job a whole lot easier and make a mediocre entomologist look pretty good sometimes with their help. So let's just talk about today about cotton bollworm, and you know it is a major pest of the Mid-South, and what we've been seeing over time is that foliar insecticides are being needed now more than ever, seems like, to supplement control, to maintain that level of control that we want to get with bollworms. And we've just seen an increasing amount of damage, and I'm going to go through that and show you some of the history on that and talk about where we are. You know, when you look across the technology, what you see is not a whole lot of variability. It's all pretty much the same. That Cry 1AC and Cry 2AB, you know, that seems to be the predominant BT that's out there across all the technology, and unfortunately that makes it susceptible to seeing some issues pop up, obviously, over time, and I think that's kind of where we're at today. This is a graph of some damage. This is just looking at square damage over time, and Jeff Gore and I pooled a bunch of our data and looked at just square damage over that time, and what we saw was you see an increase in level of square damage over time, particularly with wide strike, but also with Bogard 2, you can see that slope is increasing over time, and it's been that way for, as you can see there, from the 2006 up to through 2014. But this year, we saw a big change. And for a lot of obvious reasons that we'll get into, but we theorize that this issue has been brought about by the BT technologies in corn. The bollworms have made that transition to become more resistant to the BTs because we're putting it in their face so much through corn. And if anybody doubts where our issues are coming from, you shouldn't, because this is what we're seeing in our corn traded fields, an increasing survival. And this year it jumped considerably. So with that being said, the question becomes, so what does this mean for the VIP-3A, the vegetative exotoxin that's been incorporated? You know, and now it's in corn traits, and I think what it means to us is that if we're going to use it, now's the time, or we're going to lose it if we keep it out there the way we are currently in our corn acreage. So what I want to do is look at some field performance across the belt. This is the Mid-South Working Group at their best. We've been doing these trials for some time, and I just want to show you what we're beginning to see with the dual gene toxins right now. And this is from David Kearns in College Station, and you can see the amount of damage there as you go across in that in that first graph on your left, you got a untraded cotton, then you've got wide strike three. That's the twin link, and then twin link plus. And you can see the amount of damage as you go across there. This is cumulative damage. And as you would expect, the conventional cotton has quite a bit of damage. But also you see there the wide strike is up around 30% damage. That's pretty high. We did some studies the last couple of years, and David Kearns was able to take all of the data from the Mid-South crew and formulate a damage level of about 6% fruit damage as a threshold for us, regardless of the trait in the cotton. So you can see in a lot of those cases, in all those cases actually, across those different traits, you see a significant amount of fruit damage across those, across that location at College Station. And this is looking at Bogard 2 and Bogard 3, and what you see there is Bogard 2 is well above that threshold of 6%, and the Bogard 3 is still below the threshold of 6% in a subsequent yield. And this is pretty much what we saw in our trials in Arkansas too. This is some of Jeff Gore's and Angus's data, same setup, and you're seeing damage levels with wide strike above that 6% level of damage, and right at that with the Glytol Liberty twin link. This is Scott Stewart in Jackson, Tennessee, and you see Scott had some pretty good pressure in his location. The phytogen is no better. The wide strike is no better than the conventional cotton in this case. And that's pretty much what we see in a lot of these locations where pressure was extremely high. We don't see a lot of difference a lot of times. And I was interested this morning, we had a BT resistance meeting. And the Dow folks reported that they had no calls on any failures with wide strike. And so I think the reason that they're not getting the calls is that most of our consultants and growers have become accustomed to the lack of control that we get with that product. And I think this pretty much shows that level of control is just not where it needs to be with the wide strike. But also you see twin link there pretty high. But again, look at the wide strike three. It's well below threshold even in this intense pressure, and you're seeing a good yield response from that control that we're getting there. This is in Starkville. This is Angus's data, and again, look at the wide strike, the second bar from the left, and you can see that the level of fruit damage in that test is extremely high. Not so much for wide strike three or the Liberty link, or the twin link, still pretty high level of damage in wide strike. And this is just a shot of what that field looked like to give you a visual of the control. This is some of my data in Arkansas, a little south of Pine Bluff, and I had some pretty good pressure there too. As you can see, we're running about 40% damage on wide strike, right above threshold even with wide strike three in my trial. And certainly the twin link is well above threshold at 20% damage. So pretty severe damage in that situation, particularly with the dual genes. When you compare the three gene to the two gene, you see an obvious difference in control. And this is just a visual over time. So I just wanted to show that I pulled my data out and looked at it. And as you look across there, what you see is the wide strike three, twin link plus, and Bogard two. And you can see this is in a sprayed and unsprayed environment. The blue bar is unsprayed. The red bar is sprayed. So we can control those pests, those boll worms, with supplemental foliar applications, it appears. And this is with one shot, and we're 9 days after application. And you can see all the dual gene materials, the wide strike, the twin link, and the Bollgard, are right at that 6% threshold level. We go out to 17 days, and you can see that wide strike is starting to creep up a little bit. The twin link's right at the threshold, and Bollgard 2 has exceeded the threshold at that point at 17 days after application, unsprayed. And then it just continues to go up, and this is over a three-week period where we exceed threshold in the unsprayed with wide strike, and that's obviously impacting yield for our growers in that situation where we don't take them out and do a good job. And unfortunately, for many of my growers in Arkansas, we were dealing with this rolling population of boll worms, and we got out about 17 to 23 days after application, and we still got pressure. We got to make another application of a diamide to maintain a level of control to keep them below threshold. I don't know about y'all, but two applications of Prevathon or Besiege is not very sustainable for our cotton producers in Arkansas. It's something that we can't deal with. We sprayed more cotton, dual gene cotton, this year in the state of Arkansas than we have ever sprayed, by far. It wasn't even close. So this phenomena that we're seeing here is not only in Arkansas, but it's throughout the Mid-South. Dominic Reisig in North Carolina indicated that they had similar pressure over on the coast. David Kearns in Texas indicated they've had the same pressure that we're experiencing. So there's just a whole lot more boll worms coming through the system right now than we've ever seen. And as a result, we're seeing this kind of damage. And here you see that wide strike actually exceeding the conventional cotton and twin link exceeding that threshold too. The only thing below the threshold there is the three gene wide strike. This is Seed Brown's data. Again, no significant difference between conventional and wide strike. Levels well below with everything else, but certainly a failure there. So basically, I think what we're seeing is a resistance of boll worms to the Cry1AC and the Cry2 at this point. What that means is if boll worms pressure is low, we may be able to get by with no oversprays, but that's just not the case for us in Arkansas. Particularly in the hot spots along Bio-Bartholomew and those other areas of the state that experience chronic boll worm pressure. And it looks like if we stick with these dual gene cottons, it's going to mean that we're going to have to supplement that control with BT cotton to maintain a level and of control and get the yield that we want to get. If boll worm pressure is high, it still looks like to me, based on our data, particularly in Arkansas, that if you have three gene cotton, whether it's Bollgard 3, Twin Link Plus, Wide Strike 3, that you can get through the season without supplemental foliar applications at this time. But we are seeing enough damage out there that it concerns us that we worry about how long that efficacy is going to last for us. So we're going to have to in a lot of areas we're going to have to look at making those applications as we go. And what we saw this year in a lot of cases were we were late with our first application of the diamides to maintain the level of control that we wanted to get. We had some escapes from those applications, and that meant that we got a little more damage than our growers and consultants want to see. And so time in that application is going to be extremely important for us, and in some of those cases, like we had in 2017, and in those hot spot areas of the state, that we're going to have to trigger applications more closely related to the egg threshold than waiting to get that 6% damage. I think in some cases when the populations are so high that we just can't wait for that 6%, in a lot of cases we have to treat based on eggs to maintain the level of control in those high population situations. I think most of the time that 6% damage is a good threshold for us. It works well. It gives us a chance to let the BT work for us. But in a lot of cases, when the populations are high, we're going to have to spray based on eggs. And that's the bottom line if we maintain using dual gene cotton. So when we look at the technology that's out there, this is a graph that Jeff Gore developed. And you see across there, from poor to best, we consider Bogard and Wide Strike in that poorer category. And as you move across, you hit Twin Link, Bogard 2, and you'll notice right behind Bogard 2 is Wide Strike 3. It's better, maybe a little better, than Bogard 2, but it's not a whole lot better because it's totally dependent on the VIP part of that trait. The Cry 1AC is not working for us, and the Cry F's not working. So, in Wide Strike's case, it's totally dependent on the VIP part of the trait. And then you got Twin Link Plus, and Bogard 3 out there, which are providing the level of control right now that we feel like you can get through the season without supplemental foliar application. Which begs that question: is it time for us to move on to the three-gene cotton? I think it's being in San Antonio, you know, in cow country, may be about time to move along, little doggy, and get on to the Bogard 3 and the Wide Strike 3 and the Twin Link Plus. I think it's that time. I think we've reached that point because two applications of diamides are just not sustainable for my producers in Arkansas. We can't live with that. We can't spend that kind of money and then spend the money that we're spending on the traits and maintain. So that's the important part. Now, I think, you know, when we look at our selection for cotton varieties in Arkansas and through the Mid-South, I think the first thing we got to key on is yield and get the traits that you need to help you manage your weeds. You know, I noticed Larry's up next. I think those are the things that we have to key on, and you have to pick the right variety, regardless probably of the BT trait that you have to a certain extent, because those issues of yield and herbicide selection and control, getting those weeds under control, are the most important thing that you'll do. But certainly, you need to know that the control that you're getting with dual gene cotton is not quite near to the level that it needs to be, or we'd like it to be at this point. I'll entertain any questions if I got time. Okay, if anybody's got any time. Okay, so for us in Arkansas, we've had issues with pyrethroid resistance for a long time. We're not getting very good control with particularly a straight pyrethroid. Now, a lot of times we'll have guys that will go out with a pyrethroid plus a hot rate of orthene or something like that and get some marginal level of control of that population. But in a lot of cases, pyrethroids have not been effective for us in Arkansas. So, we're talking about shooting it early with a diamide. like Trevathan or Bessie. Yes. Yeah, and I think those are the kind of deals that we need to start making with all the companies. I think we could use some deals on some feedback on getting some help on some diamide applications. I think that's critical. I didn't see a wide strike field that I walked in this year during that period of fruit set and blooming. When we hit bloom, there was a lot of worms in the wide strike this year, and they had to be treated. In a lot of cases, multiple applications just to maintain a level of control to get that fruit level damage down to a workable level. So a rebate is a great idea out there for all you chemical companies and seed companies. I'm all about that. And I guarantee my growers are too.